Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints. Welcome to episode 185 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I'm excited to bring you my interview with Catherine Stiles. She's from Style Switch. She and Shane own Style Switch Barbecue and Brew in Austin, as well as the Switch and Dripping. But she's also the owner of Barbecue Wife, and that's barbecuewife.com. They have a Bloody Mary mix. They have a margarita mix. They have tons of apparel. They have tons of other content related to Barbecue Wife. We'll get into that in detail. This took place in January, right before the world completely changed. So as we talk about things, obviously, we do not mention COVID-19 at all. But it's nice to get a chance to see what her mentality was and what her thought process was prior to that. And the Switch Dripping is open Tuesday through Sunday, a little bit different hours, as well as the Style Switch Barbecue and Brew. They're both places are closed on Mondays, but they're open Tuesday through Sunday, but adjusted hours because of COVID, takeout and curbside only. But it's an interesting story. It's interesting to find out her background, find out what she did prior to meeting Shane, and how they came up with the idea to do Style Switch, and everything that went into that and what it's become, and the relation and her relationship with Wyatt McSpadden, and how he's connected to Barbecue Wife, and how the product came about. It's all really interesting. And if you want to come out with and been thinking about that, itching to do that, this is a great primer. She gives you a lot of information. She's dead honest about stuff, and it's not an easy thing to do. I really think you'll find that interesting. Make sure you do visit both locations. Make sure you go online to Barbecue Wife. Purchase stuff, support them. They're great members of the barbecue community. I can't thank her enough for taking the time to do this, and it's taken me some time. There's been a bunch of stuff obviously going on in the world that I haven't had a chance, but hopefully you'll get a chance to watch this or listen to this and enjoy it and think back to what it was like before COVID and what it can be, because it is going to end eventually and you'll want to go back to barbecue places. So hopefully this will make you itching to go to the Switch Dripping or Style Switch. And as always, the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is sponsored by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're in Dripping Springs and they are still selling their product online. They're doing some grocery stuff. They're doing a lot of cool stuff. Check them out at treatyoak.com. You'll get a chance to really see. Obviously, things have changed. You can't visit the way that you used to, but you will eventually. And also, AJ's Custom Cookers is a sponsor of the show. That's at ajscustomcookers.com. He's still making pits. He's being careful while they do it. They're doing the 6 feet distance thing. I have an interview coming up pretty soon that you'll get a chance to listen to him in depth more about what he's doing right now. I have an old interview with him, but this will be a cool one for a primer, for a chance to get a catch up and see what his lead times are, what his new products are that he's doing. But the end, thanks so much for listening. Subscribe if you like it. Subscribe to the podcast, to the YouTube channel. If you're just listening to this on podcast, youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. And I have a new website, kevinsbbqjoints.com, or read on website by Zach Oldham. Zach Oldham Design is awesome. Tons of content. Check it out. Thanks so much. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Today, like a Wednesday, is it typically really busy for you?
Every day seems to be busy. I don't know the day that is not busy anymore. You know, we used to have a little bit of a slower pace on Mondays because we're closed. So with the type of craft style barbecue that we do, it's 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. So if we didn't have that one day to stop and reset, turn the pits off and all of that, it would implode for sure. But, you know, Mondays are typically our in the office, you know, planning the week out, answering emails, catching and up, doing all of that. So there really isn't, I don't feel like a day off anymore.
And also too, because you guys are open for lunch and dinner at both spots, right?
Yeah. So we do, like I said, it's a 24-hour cook process. So, you know, we don't, you know, cook and sell out model. We cook and then cook again. So typically, yeah, it's a busy day, but we've got some really talented and amazing people and customers and supporters of the model that we've built.
Yeah, you have fanatics, the people that do and the people that are in the know, because, and that's something too I want to talk about, because I feel like it's important that people understand that, number one, there's an evening option for barbecue in Austin and then in Dripping Springs, but also what you guys offer is unique to barbecue, especially at the new location. It's a completely different. Did you grow up in Texas?
I did. I grew up in the Austin area, and then my family moved outside of the Houston area when I was in middle school. So I kind of have a split childhood between Austin and the Houston area.
What was your path? Were you going into marketing?
I was. So when I graduated high school, I went to Texas A&M University, and I got a degree in marketing, and I followed that path out of out of school. So I worked actually in radio media for 10 years. That was my first career. So I had
How was that?
a very fun.
It's stressful, right, at times, isn't it? Are you selling ads? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I was selling, doing more event marketing side of the equation too. So I was with, which is now iHeartMedia, Clear Channel.
Oh, wow.
Which is now iHeart, and we had eight radio properties in that cluster in Houston. It's a very large media market, so I got to work on some really big campaigns, big agency stuff, big concert production, you know, so I got a crash course into all kinds of avenues of business. And
that helped you out a lot for both projects that you have, well, for the restaurant side as well as the barbecue wife side, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, and then after my radio career, I was a founder of a company called MyFit Foods. So we sold that to private equity. And then I started having kids, and my husband got in the barbecue side of the business. So I had a food path before even barbecues.
Did you meet Shane when you were working in the radio world?
No. Well, yes, I did. We went to college, both of us at A&M, both graduated the same year, and we did not know each other, but we had the same circle of friends, crazy enough. And then we got connected after college and dated long distance. He was in Austin. I was in Houston. We dated long distance for about 2 years before we finally made that, okay, who's moving? What are we doing here? And I said, I'm coming back to Austin. So that was a no-brainer for me.
Was he talking about, or were you guys, like, at that time, about opening a barbecue place?
No, I mean, he'd always mentioned, you know, his love for barbecue. He grew up in a town called Taylor, Texas, which is kind of a central Texas, you know, mecca for barbecue enthusiasts, if you know the story of that town and that community. And, you know, he always tells the story, I ate barbecue probably 3 to 4 times a week, Catherine. You probably ate barbecue 3 or 4 times a year. And it was a way of life. So him and his dad, you know, that's you know, there weren't a lot of options for dining out other than barbecue. So that was just, you know.
Yeah, if people go to Taylor, it's like it's a bigger town that now than it was back then. But.
Yeah, not much, though. It's still kind of on the outskirts of where all the growth is happening in Austin. But yeah, it's a little bit of a bigger town. Still has that, you know, very proud of their community and proud of what goes on there. So it's a really neat place that he grew up. But, you know, that was the thing with him and his dad and growing up. And that was just kind of ingrained in him. And when he was in Austin working, he saw a void. He was like, there's no good barbecue here, Catherine. So he kind of had this passion for wanting to do it. And the only other place that was doing it at the time was Aaron Franklin with Franklin. And yeah, that's kind of the path. Stars aligned with, you know, Lance Kirkpatrick, who is our lead pit master at Style Switch.
And Lance was living in Taylor.
Yeah, he was with Louis Miller for 9 years, I believe, with Bobby Miller, his teacher. And
if anybody ever sees, like, the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dive, the old one, Lance is on that one when it's, like, one of the first seasons, I think, or second season.
He's there, and, you know, he's got some really great stories from his path and where he got started. But Lance, after Bobby had passed, he went out on his own and started a small restaurant in Taylor. And Taylor...
Not an easy town.
Super support, you know, a lot of, still to this day, a lot of the more finer dining restaurant options. So, unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. And Shane and his dad had been talking about the idea of doing a barbecue restaurant in Austin. And his dad called him the day Lance closed. He said, oh my gosh, he said, you know, this might be an opportunity. Lance is unfortunate, you know, his restaurant didn't work out, but give him a call. And it happened to be just the stars aligned and this timing. And, you know, Shane always tells the story. He called Lance and he was like, hey, I know you don't know who I am, but, you know, I've been a customer of yours for a very long time when you were at Louis Miller. And he mentioned the name and he was like, and he said, what did you order? And Shane told him what he ordered. And he goes, I know exactly who you are.
Wow.
And yeah, so then they started talking. And obviously it was probably one of the worst days for Lance in his career path, closing his restaurant that he was excited to venture out into. And you know, Shane said, I need you to come to Austin and sit down with me. I've got this vision and idea for something that we could do that would be really, really neat here in Austin if you're open to it. And flash forward, we just celebrated our 8-year anniversary at Style Switch.
Is it 8 years there? Wow.
8 years. Yeah. Moving right along. It's a flash. You know, we've had two restaurants, two kids in the last 8 years, and my venture of the craziness that I've gotten myself into. So
yeah, when did barbecue wife start? When did that, like, you became a barbecue wife 8 years ago, essentially?
Yeah, I was 9 months pregnant, you know, when we opened the doors to Style Switch. So we opened in December 2011.
Oh my gosh.
daughter in January
I think I
2012.
remember Shane talking about that. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and it was very bootstrapped. You know, the way that we put Style Switch together, we didn't, you know, it's all Shane and his efforts on that side of the equation. I remember a week before we were opening, and I'm huge pregnant, and Shane was like, "Okay, don't spend any money right now." And I was like, "What does that
Yeah, what
mean?
is
Don't spend
that?
any money? Can I go to the grocery store? What are we doing?" And I'm about to have a baby, so he was like, "No, we're fine. Just, you know, don't spend a lot of money right now until we know what's happening with this restaurant thing." So, thankfully, that all worked out
The reaction,
perfect.
because where it is, it's a little more north of, it's in the northern portion of Austin, right? North,
Yeah, it's
northwest?
North Lamar. It's actually North Central
North
is
Central,
really,
okay.
yeah, it's Old Austin. So it's a really neat area of town. And the story of how we stumbled across this place is, you know, we were living South Austin at the time when we had our first daughter and first were married. And we started looking in, you know, all the places that you want to be. South Lamar, which is a very up and coming
Yeah.
road for activity and restaurants and business. And we couldn't find a space. You couldn't, and if you found something, you couldn't find anything with parking. And that's, you know, a nightmare here in Austin, is
No.
the parking situation at this point. And that wasn't us. We wanted to find a place where we could have, you know, enough space to have a nice restaurant and actually have parking where people could come and bring their families and not have to, you know, circle the block 18
Yeah, no,
times to
that's
find a
important for
place
any
to park.
restaurant, yeah.
Yeah, so we stumbled across this center. It's called the Violent Crown Center here in Austin on North Lamar, and it was built in the early 1950s. It's really the very first shopping center built in the 1950s by a man named Mr. Koenig. There's a Koenig Lane in Austin,
Interesting.
and it's got such a neat history to it. I mean, when we went into the place, we had to obviously gut and redo everything, and everything's very old. You know, it's got very strong walls, and you start pulling out the old popcorn ceiling, and it's all exposed wood beams, which they don't build places like that anymore. So we started, you know, pulling things back and finding all these really neat textures and things to the center to be able to work with.
It's like
So
an HGTV dream place.
yeah, and you can't build them like that. You know,
No.
if you try to do that, you can't replicate it. It doesn't have the same feel.
Did you expand the footprint there later on, or I think you
We've expanded over time, so
Yeah.
it's fun to watch the history of what we do and what how we continue to expand and the growth of that center. So as places kind of are open, we take over. So I think now to date, we just took over another spot
Oh,
in
you
that
did.
center. We have four spots. So we have our main restaurant. Next to us, we had an old barber shop that was a man in his 80s had just retired about 2 or 3 years ago. He had been there for 55 years, and
Wow.
he just retired. We took over that space, and then we have another space that we took over, which is a private dining room that's right off our pit room, which is really unique to barbecue in Austin too.
Yeah,
There's
that's
not a lot
awesome.
of spaces that have that. And then we just took over our fourth space, which is just for prep, and it's got a huge walk-in cooler to expand our space there as well. So
Crazy. That's amazing.
yeah, and if you go in the back where all the pits are, you know, we've added on from our original pit. Now we have five pits that
Yeah,
stretch down the
that's what,
whole
yeah, I
entire
saw.
alley. So
That's so.
it's a scene. It's a scene to go back there and watch the workflow and what these guys, you know, put out on a volume level.
And it's so nice that that worked out because it's like, and for the community too. I'm sure people really appreciate the fact that they have that. It seems like a lot of people do come for dinner too.
They do. Yeah, I mean, our dinner crowd is just as big as our lunch crowd, and it's in a neat situated neighborhood called the Brentwood neighborhood, which is an old Austin neighborhood, and you're seeing a tide and change of a lot of the older residents are, you know, a lot of them not with us anymore, starting to move out. A lot of young families moving in. So I would say, you know, the demographic over there is changing a lot too. And we kind of knew the growth of North Lamar was going to be changing when we went into that space. So we knew it was going to take about 3 or 4 years to catch up with what South Lamar had built. And you're seeing that now. There's a lot of bars and restaurants and other things that are keeping the energy and the flow of that street going.
Yeah,
So it's fun to watch.
that's super exciting. What year did you start Barbecue Wife then?
I started Barbecue Wife. Let's see, what year is it now? 2020.
I
I
think it's
lose track of all
2020,
my years.
yeah. 2026.
About 2015. So we're going on about 5 years now.
And was that just because you didn't have enough to do, so you want to do more?
I always have way too much to do, but if you know me, I have like 9,000 ideas a minute, and every once in a while somebody will let me do one. So it was right after I had my second daughter. So crazy enough, I had my first daughter in 2011, And then 16 months later, I had another daughter. So we've got two kids that are 16 months apart.
Oh, that's great.
And it was in this interim of me, I retired out of my full-time position with the company that I was one of the founding members of called MyFit Foods. And at the height of that company, we grew it to 100 locations in five states. And I handled the PR effort. So that's my background is PR media. So I was working within three time zones, 100 locations. It was a very, very fast-paced job. And we were building that business to scale, to sell.
Wow.
So it was really, really fast-paced. And when I started having kids and Shane started getting really busy with the barbecue side of the equation, that's where I decided to retire that role.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some time where I sat back and kind of, you know, helped Shane strictly with the restaurant and that side of the business. And I kind of started thinking, like, what do I want to do? What am I interested in? What's the next act? And I just had this idea because of the sheer involvement in the barbecue landscape that we were in. You know, my background in college, I was a bartender for my college career. I never thought I would bring that back into
my life.
Yeah. So I always had a Bloody Mary mix recipe that I made, and I would continue to make it for like friends and family. And when we started doing stuff in the restaurant side, we started talking about, should we do, you know, a bottled barbecue sauce and sell that? That's a very hard space to go into. You know, it's not
very
really money maker. Very good for branding, but very few make any money actually doing that. So I go, wouldn't it be interesting if we could do something in this consumer packaged goods space and not do a barbecue sauce? So that's where my kind of my Bloody Mary mix came into play, because in Central Texas, we use what's called a mop sauce. It's a very thin based kind of tomato soup consistency of a barbecue sauce. And it's kind of a table sauce that we pass out on every tray. It's not overly sweet. You know, it's not super thick. It has more of a Bloody Mary kind of profile to
it. It's very unique.
It's very unique. And I said, what if we took that and played around with my Bloody Mary mix and put a little bit of that sauce infused into the mix and see where that lands? So I actually played with that recipe for probably close to 2 years before I was like,
well, that's interesting that's where it came from. I never realized that's where it came from.
I had a real intent for trying to create a product that was married to what we do in the craft barbecue scene. And then taking it a step further, I wanted to make sure that it had a high integrity for the ingredients that went in there and, you know, take all the crappy, junky ingredients.
Yeah,
I
keep seeing whenever I look at your stuff, it says no junk or junk free.
Yeah, junk free is kind of how it just kind of caught on, because that's really a great way to describe it. Mm-hmm. So if you look at most of the bottled mixers on any shelf stable aisle, whether mm-hmm. that's a grocery store or liquor store, you turn that thing around, half of them you can't pronounce. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of MSG. There's a lot of high fructose corn syrup, a lot of ingredients that I understand why they do it. It's a very cheap way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cost efficient for that person making it, but it's not the best way to do it. That's why, you know, I kind of looked at that category and I was like, man, there's an opportunity here to disrupt this category. And I think there's a viable marketplace because people are reading their labels. Mm-hmm. They understand about ingredients a little bit more than they did 20, 30 years ago. So I said, you know, let's see what we can do here. And that's kind of how that product, the actual product came about. Barbecue Wife, the brand came about because of, obviously, I was a barbecue wife in this space. And I quickly noticed when I got into it, it's a very male-dominated space.
Yes.
And I said, wouldn't it be interesting to be able to use this as a platform to tell some perspectives from the female point of view in this very male-dominated space?
To showcase that.
Yeah, and I found that I was meeting so many amazing women that were part of this barbecue community, whether they were, you know, one of the family-owned restaurants or just women working inside the operation, maybe not behind the pits. That's not traditionally where you would find them, but I was like, there's so many interesting stories here of these women and how they got involved in this. And wouldn't it be neat to tell those stories along the way? So quickly we started, you know, gathering some stories on different women that I would meet in this space. And we call it Tales of a Barbecue Wife. So we have those stories that we continue to tell on the website. And and push them forward, because there's not a lot of traditional media outlets that are really telling those stories. So,
yeah, you'll see it like even today, even though it's expanded, yeah. there's maybe a one-off story a year about it.
Yeah, and I get the fact that, you know, there's a lot of excitement around the pit master and the person actually cooking the meat and doing all of that. So, you know, there's always going to be that lead in those stories, but there's some really amazing women in kitchens mm-hmm. across, you know, the United States and barbecue places, whether, you know, they're in the kitchen doing, you know, sides and not behind the pit doing the meats, but there's some really creative.
But holding everything together, essentially. It's
doing it all. And I'm trying to get more out there and tell some more of those stories. So I've had a really awesome partner in photographer Wyatt McSpadden here in Texas, who
Wyatt's just amazing.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite people. And I, you know, we met him obviously in this barbecue journey. He lives very close by Style Switch, so I get to see him quite a bit. And originally, when I started telling these stories, I said, okay, I've got two small children. I can't travel, you know, outside of Austin, and we've got very busy businesses here. So it's few and far between when I get to hit the road and go do a barbecue yeah. tour. Wyatt is always on the road because he's the photographer yeah. and he's very high in demand from some very big publications. And I started talking to him about this whole journey, and he said, you know what, Catherine, if I'm in a city that you want to talk to someone, let me know and I'll go and take their portrait, and then you can do the interview on email or by phone. So that's kind of our partnership is, you know, he goes out and takes these beautiful portraits.
I didn't know about that connection. That's yeah, phenomenal. So
all the portrait photography that you see is Wyatt's work, and we're working together on a new series this year. It's just a lot of fun to work with yeah. them, you know, and that's what I try to do in everything I do is really work with people that I enjoy. So I don't have really any other angle other than, you know, you're a good person. I enjoy your company. Let's see what we can do together.
Yeah, that's a great yeah. way to live life.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. So, yes, so we're having a lot of fun.
What was the reaction to it when it first came out, and how hard was it to ramp it up?
As far as production on the product side,
yeah.
Very hard. So that's not my background. Like I said, I'm more marketing, PR, you know, that's my background. So I can tell a story. I can come up with an idea. And working on the consumer packaged goods side, CPG is that industry, is a whole other ball game. And I think if I had more insight into it, I might not have done it, because it is a racket. It's you know, I always tell people looking, because there's so many people in barbecue ask me about, like, you know, how can I get my barbecue sauce done? How can I get it into, you know, one of the big retailers? Like, we're in Whole Foods and HEB, and I stop them right there, and without being a Debbie Downer, but I'm like, you need to understand the business before you really put your time and effort and resources into it, because mm-hmm. it's not going to make you a millionaire overnight or anything. And you're going to put a lot of hard work into it, and you might not get that return that you think you're going to get out of it.
And even the name brands that people know of, they still struggle to get space.
Yeah. And, you know, being in Austin, I'm in a very great environment for consumer packaged goods. It's one of the biggest consumer packaged goods incubators in the country now. So there's a lot of really cool brands coming out. So I have a lot of resources available to collaborate with other people. And I'm in a lot of CPG groups here in Austin.
Oh, cool.
But with that, even it's very competitive. So it's one thing to get on the shelf. It's another thing to stay on the shelf. Yeah. And that's the part that's very costly and time consuming. And you definitely have to understand the math of your product and how much it actually costs you to make it and keep it on that shelf.
Yeah,
and
because
keep
people
it going.
will come to you with a certain amount that they want to spend, and you have to figure out, is that something that's worthwhile? Is that something that'll, yeah, because people cut their margins so low just to be in something big, not realizing it'll kill your company.
Yeah. And I see it all the time. I've had friends, very good friends of mine, that have, you know, spent millions of dollars on startups and you know, had to close shop, you know, a few years later. And it's all about, you know, how you set goals for what you're really trying to do. You know, when I started Barbecue Wife, I just knew, I said, I know I've got it. Great tasting product, and I think people will enjoy it. So I really did it in a small way. I had a very small scope. I said, let's look at Austin. That's all I want to do. I only want to focus on Austin. So that's what I did for, you know, probably two and a half years of the first part of me launching, was I just sold in Austin, and I would get, you know, people reaching out from all these other cities and, you know, other states. And I said, no, I'm just focusing on this.
That's great advice. That's really good advice.
It is, and that's probably the best advice I've gotten from a lot of really big, successful, retailers and CPG owners is, don't cast your net too wide because that can really be the downfall. Don't overspend in marketing because that's something you really want to do in the beginning. You look at all these great events and people are constantly sending me emails every day on,
Of
look at
course.
this event, it's only this much to come do this and that. You really have to understand your budgets and constraints and where you need to stay because, on any given day when you're dealing with food, there's going to be a catastrophe that happens. I just went through my margarita mix, which is my second mixer we launched. I use fresh lime juice. So not a lot of companies do that. They use
Oh,
concentrate
yeah.
or things that are pretty easily available, pretty cost effective. I use fresh lime juice. So all of my lime juice, I actually ship in fresh from Florida, which is expensive to do on the
Yes.
freight side alone, but they just had a lime shortage. There was a drought that was going on. So it set all these vendors, and there's only a handful of them, set all these vendors behind. So we got behind in production by a couple of weeks, which then has a domino effect on all your POs, purchase orders that you're trying to fulfill. And so, yeah, I can tell you all the wonderful things, but I can also tell you all the real things that happen on the day to day that can definitely make you want to cry. So.
Yeah, well, it's tough because there's things like Shark Tank, things that make people excited, thinking like, oh, it'll just happen overnight. Where
Yeah.
even if you're on a show like that, it's still struggle. Like, they're not every company blows up after that.
Yeah, and it's sometimes it's better to stay under the
I
radar
think
for
that's
as long
smart.
as you
No,
can.
that's great. That's the best
Yeah.
advice. And I hope people that are listening to this that want to open, like, start a project like this are listening
Yeah.
to that, because you get, because if you get a huge order from a major company, it's really expensive. Like, people might not have, and then they'll get loans, and then, yeah, it'd be
It's
dangerous.
you have to have a lot of capital behind you once you get into those bigger retailers just to keep up with the supply of raw goods and packaging and everything that you need to keep that funnel flowing. And
And the billing is all funky, and yeah, it's.
yeah, and you get one shot. Like I tell everyone, like don't look at one of these big, like Whole Foods was one of my first big retailers I went into, and you quickly learn like about the margin game, how much you're actually making after you go through the
Yeah.
distributor, after you get to the shelf, after the random bills you get that you don't even know what they mean, and you go, am I making any money? So yeah, I always tell people like try to understand the business on that larger retail side before you even attempt to go in there.
I didn't realize. I kind of thought that this conversation would go down this route, but I'm happy that it did, because I think it's important for people, and that's what I try to do with these, is at least open up a window to a world that maybe people might not understand or not know about. I think it's important.
Yeah, and I do. I am a huge pay it forward person because I've had so many people help me in my career and in different career paths that I've been on, and I'm very open. I always tell people if you've got a question about that side of the world in consumer packaged goods, send me an email. I'm at info@barbecuewife. If it takes me a week to get back with you, it might, but I will. I'm always open to answering questions on how did you get started? What are some things to research before you even get into that? 'Cause there's some great books. There's some great just YouTube resources. You can go on YouTube and listen to talks of people that can give you some insight into that world before you do it.
Yeah, there's a lot more available than when you first started, for
Oh,
sure.
absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
you have the Bloody Mary mix, you have the margarita mix,
Yes, we have
all junk free.
all junk free. Yes, and they all tie back into barbecue. The margarita mix, we actually use local Texas honey that we smoke.
Oh.
So we smoke it on the smoker for anywhere from 48 to 72 hours. And what that does, it really kind of mellows the floral flavor of the honey down. So it's not so overly honey tasting. So it's an organic sweetener. It's very clean. All of our mixes are very clean. So we don't add any preservatives or additives or any of the other stuff you usually read. So.
Do you have any other products coming out?
We do. We can't disclose them
But
quite
they're coming out.
yet, but
Okay.
yeah,
Okay. So.
we have some new stuff that's going to happen this year that's going to kind of innovation in what we're doing.
Oh,
So
cool. Okay.
we're
Good.
just trying
Well.
to keep up with the way that consumers are purchasing, the way they want to buy your product, and you learn that too. You quickly learn like about your bottle size or how where people are consuming it the most, and there's a lot of things that you have to keep on the research side, just keep up to date on metrics and things that are happening so you can be as profitable as you can.
So for that stuff, go to the website, check out social, follow you in social media. That way you'll.
Yeah, our social media is pretty up to date. Instagram is my favorite, I guess, social media to use. I'm on Facebook just because you have to kind of be
Know.
there, but Instagram is probably my favorite space to play in. It's an easy, and I don't like to read anymore. I look at pictures, so that's the easy place to do that.
Seriously, like honestly, I remember when Facebook bought Instagram, and everyone thought it was so crazy. I think of 4 billion or whatever it was, and it was just people scrolling. But now it's like everyone. It's like it's a marketing tool as well as this like distraction. It's a nice, easy distraction just to scroll.
Yeah, it's a rabbit hole that you can go down, and then all of a sudden you're like, why am I looking at this person's children that I don't even know, and why am I so interested? I've been on this for 30 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's a time waster.
You have a lot of clothing too, right?
We do. So that just started out of a funny thing in my house. So, you know, we have all these funny sayings and things that we say and my kids say and things I hear. And a lot of them we turn into t-shirts. So I think one of our most popular ones is my husband smells like brisket. And that was just, you know, because every day Shane would come home and his closet smells like a smoker. So I was like, that would be a funny t-shirt. So we kind of put
them out. But I've seen that around a lot.
I have a new one I just did when we launched the margarita mix because I'm a mom. It says mom jeans and margaritas. So we make fun of, you know.
Yeah, no,
mom.
It's all super clever. It's
fun. And it's really resonated with our audience. So, you know, I always try to tell people, you know, I am a product company and that we make these great mixers, but we also try to have fun and tell stories and be lighthearted about what's happening in our everyday lives. So that's where a lot of those things can tie in.
It extends the brand for sure.
It does. We have a really great, amazing, loyal audience that continues to buy from us, and we throw wacky things out there. Sometimes they're working, sometimes they're not, but it's fun to be able to try new things and pivot in that space.
It's so great too. Like, do you find it at bars around, or is it mostly at retail?
Yeah, we are, and we're expanding that footprint in bar and restaurant too. So the Bloody Mary and the margarita are somewhat difficult in some markets because of restaurants like to make their own a lot. So,
well, that's true.
But we like to be an alternative for people that don't want to have the headache of making, you know, their own Bloody Mary mix or their own margarita mix. That we have that, and it's actually real food and not, you know, some electric green margarita mix that doesn't look like anything yeah. natural you should be drinking, but
that tastes like overly sweet or weird sourly.
Yeah, ours is very more, I always say it's like an Austin, Texas margarita. If you come to Austin, just about 99% of the restaurants here are squeezing fresh lime juice and, you know, mixing with agave and really great tequilas. And that was the inspiration for that is, you know, we're a big margarita family, my husband and I. So I was like, if I'm going to make a good one, it better be a really damn good one, or I'm going to get killed here in Austin for making a margarita mix. So, yeah, you have to overcome a little bit of that stigma too for mixers, because people are used to like, oh, mixers, but you can make them in a better way.
Yeah, there's ones that like everyone knows that forever, they don't even taste quite like what you would imagine.
You're, no,
when you have a real margarita or you have a real Bloody Mary, you're like, wow, wait, that's different.
Yeah, and I mean, you can look at the price points on shelves. If you see a bottle of mixer for $2.99, they're making that mixer for probably 99 cents, so you can kind of guess what goes into it.
Definitely. So then, what was the Dripping Springs location? The switch. How did that come about? Like what was the? Was that? Did you guys always want to open a second location?
We wanted to do a second location. It always had to align with the timing and the right location, and all of those things had to align. But we also had such a talented group of individuals within our pit room at Style Switch that we knew we needed to also create a space where we could really have all of these talents thrive. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the, you know, starting point for that location. And then we also wanted to be able to play around with some different types of cuisine within the barbecue space. Everything that we do there is the same as South, which as far as Texas barbecue is involved. But we do have a really great, huge kitchen. So we're able to play in that space and do more unique items.
It has a Cajun bent, right?
And we've got some Cajun influence on there, but more Texas barbecue at the core
is really what we are.
But we have a full bar out there where, you know, at Style Switch, it's beer and wine only. So yeah, it's a little bit of a different take on everything that we do at Style Switch. But it's a lot of fun.
The breakfast options are, or the brunch options.
Yes, we do a big Sunday brunch out there. And that was the idea for, the Hill Country. It's such a beautiful space. If you've never been, just right outside of
Oh,
Austin,
yeah.
we're right on the edge of Austin and Dripping Springs. So you get out there, it gets real lush, real green, lots of hills. It's kind of a destination that you want people to come and enjoy and hang out. So we built that location geared around that. We want you to come, we want you to hang out and stay and bring your family and enjoy the space. Style Switch is a traditional Texas meat market style. You go through the line, you get your tray, you sit down, you eat, and you might have another beer, but then you're going to be on your way. Whereas, we created the switch to be more of a come out and hang out for a couple hours.
But you still line up though at the switch, right?
We do. Well, no, we started that way, and now we're full service
Oh, you're full
actually
service?
out
Okay,
here.
good. I
Yeah,
didn't
so
know that. Okay.
we're full service. So we quickly adopted to that community out there who wanted more of a full
That's
service
smart.
type of, yeah. So in that, in restaurants, if we've learned anything, it's to be able to adapt as quickly as possible
That's
when
another
you're,
great advice.
listening to your customers and because if you push back and go, this is what we're gonna do, yet that's not
Oh,
always
that's.
received very well. So yeah, in that Dripping Springs community, it's more of a suburban area. So Austin, where we are with Style Switch, it's a fast 24-hour day flowing city. So we get our normal regular customers, but every day there's so many new faces coming through because of tourism in this city, just people that find you because we're just such a large city now. So it's fun, with us being 8 years in the business, they still go out and do events, and especially with my Barbecue Wife events, and people asking me my story of how this came about. And I'm like, oh, my husband and I own Style Switch, and they're like, where's Style Switch? And I'm like, it's just like right there, up down the corner,
know, people still ask me. People still ask me, and I'm like, really? You don't know?
I think everybody, when you get in your little world, you think everybody knows about you, but you quickly find out once you get out there and do events, nobody knows about you. You gotta tell them. So
And
yeah,
that's good. There's still more potential customers. That's awesome.
always, always. Austin's a great city to be in for that.
So what are, so pe so people know, what are the hours for both locations?
So pretty typical, same hours. We've got Style Switch. We're closed on Monday. We're closed on Monday out at the Switch as well. 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. during the week, and then on Sunday at the Switch we have our Sunday brunch. So we start off at 10:30 in the morning. We do full Texas barbecue style brunch, and then we also have our regular menu that's available too. So you can get both worlds.
So exciting. Like, and this is, and it's amazing too how much volume you guys. Did you have five pits at both locations?
We have at the Switch, we have 4,000 gallon Mobergs, and then we have a custom sausage pit
Oh, the
that,
sausage one. Yeah, I've seen that.
yeah, that's a really, really, really neat piece of equipment. So that was built by Sonny Moberg and our lead pit master, Christopher McGee, who's an extremely talented individual, and he's known for all of his creative sausages as well. But he got with Sonny and he said, this is what I want, and they work together to actually custom build that. But then we've got, the beautiful, you have to see that pit room because it's such a beautiful space. And it was neat because we built that restaurant from the ground
Yeah, I was
up.
going to say,
We're
did
able
you
to
build it from the
actually,
ground up? That was my next
yeah, which we
question.
were actually able to go in and go, this is exactly what we want. And having the knowledge base that we've had from Style Switch, where we went into an existing building and have literally built a pit room down a alleyway
Alley,
over the
yeah.
years and added on. It was neat to be able to go in and say, this is how we want it. This is what we want to do. And then we have a custom sausage room that's only for sausage making
So
there. And
smart.
it's, yeah, so we do all of our own in-house sausages at both locations. And
How does it feel walking into that location, knowing that you built it from the ground up? That must be a very exciting feeling or
it is.
sense of
It's a
accomplishment.
beautiful,
It's
beautiful
so gorgeous.
space.
Everything I've seen, the
Yeah.
photos, even from the beginning, the photos were gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a really fun space. If you come to Austin, we'll have to take you out there because it's a lot of fun. You get the vibe of like, you want to have a good time and just kick back and hang out, bring your friends and family. So we're doing a really neat, actually this Thursday, a really neat dinner with Dan Garrison, who is a Texas bourbon maker. He owns Garrison Brothers Bourbon.
Oh, wow.
We're doing a bourbon dinner with him Thursday night. So it's kind of a chef collaboration of the pit room meets the maker, and we're doing this bourbon
That's
pairing
cool.
with all these So it's fun out in that space. We get to do stuff like that more often, where we have these special dinner nights where we can bring other chefs in or collaborators and do fun things.
So it definitely gives you a chance to be a lot more creative at that location.
Yeah, it does. We have more space to work with, and we have the venue to host some of these really neat things.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time, and look at what you guys have done. Like, it's I'm very proud of you guys. Like, I remember the early days, and now to where you guys are now, and the future is still, there's still a lot coming up.
Yeah. We don't seem to slow down here. We just say, you know, keep having ideas, and I don't think we think about them too much, or we probably wouldn't do them. We're just like, yeah, let's do it. Okay, let's go. Keep moving. But yeah, we laugh if we sit still too long. We always think there's something wrong, like something's falling apart. Because if it's not 100 miles an hour, it's kind of crazy. So, but thank you for all the support and the support of just the Texas barbecue community in general, and telling all the stories.
Well, I love the community. I love the people, and I love the food. And I can't wait. And I haven't been to your new location. I'll be out probably in March. I might be out at the end of February, but it might be just for a quick 3-day. I'm gonna try to come at night if I can, to least to the Switch, because I haven't been to the Switch location. And then in March, I'm gonna do an actual like week long tour in Texas again. So.
Oh, very fun. Well, we've got March South by Southwest hits Austin.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Maybe I gotta figure that out.
Yeah, navigate around that. Entire world.
Thank you for inviting me.
On Austin. Yeah, so that it's a fun time. It definitely is a fun time. But yeah, it's a busy time in Austin during that 10 days.
Yeah, when I lived in Texas, I left in January, just before. I never got a chance to really experience South by Southwest.
Yeah, it's a beast. It's fun to do every once in a while, but yeah, it's a beast.
Yeah, maybe I'll come another time with the company or something, my own company. Yes. But thank you again for taking the time, and thank you for everything you're doing.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I know we've been back and forth over the last, I guess, 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Our schedule, so. I always say life happens when life is happening.
Life happens, yeah, exactly. And I'm persistent.
I've got a daughter that has the flu right now. So, yeah, I was like, okay, let's just keep going.
I hope she feels better. Yeah, I know. Don't get sick yourself.
I'm trying not to. So, well, thank you for taking the time.
All right, have a great day. Thanks so much. Have a great week. Say hi to Shane and say hi to Lance, too.
I will do. All right, take care. Bye.